Anywho, that was just a little side note. Good morning, family of God. How are y'all? Happy New Year. We've already gone through a week as of tomorrow in 2019. Isn't that just crazy? What? Okay, so today, All Things New, Part 2 today. How does that sound? Whoa, you guys are quiet today. How does that sound? Yeah, awesome. All right. So what I'm going to do is a quick little review of my sermon from last week, and then I wanted to be just really practical today. Okay, so we're going to have some of the word, of course, but just some practical guidelines to get you kick-started for 2019. Does that sound okay? Does that sound okay? Okay, so we discovered last week that it is important to set goals. You know, when we start a new year, we have all these resolutions that we're going to unfold for ourselves in the new year coming. And it's really important to have goals. But not every goal that you set is a good goal that God is going to bless. I talked about that last week. So I shared with you two questions you need to ask yourselves in regard to setting goals, whether they are goals that God will honor. And my first question is, will my goal honor God? So what kind of goal brings glory to God? And last week I shared with you, any goal that causes you to trust Him more, depend on Him more, to love Him more, to love other people more, to serve Him, to serve others, to be more unselfish, these are goals that you can set up in your life that will be pleasing and honoring to God. Amen? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 and 31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Everything that you do can be done to bring glory and honor to God. You can honor God by taking out the garbage. If it's not too heavy for me, I can take that bag down to the curb. You can honor God by doing housework, by washing the dishes. You can honor God by doing that mundane little task that you have to do at work, week in and week out. How? By doing it with the right motive, gratitude. If you want your life to bring honor to God, you need to set goals that help you be the best you can be for God's glory. Not for your own glory, but for God's glory. Amen? It's perspective. We need to look for the flowers, not the weeds. Amen? I shared that illustration last week. So, will my goal honor God? The second question I mentioned last week that you have to ask yourself is my goal motivated by love? God isn't going to bless any goal that's driven by greed or envy or guilt or fear or pride. But He does honor a goal that's influenced by a desire to demonstrate love to Him and to others. Because life is all about learning how to love. Amen? 1 Corinthians 16:14 tells us that God, or rather, do everything in love. Your one goal in life should be to learn how to really love your family, your neighbors, even those people that you may have in your life that you're not too keen on. That makes you more like God, because God is love. But even more importantly, your number one goal should be pouring out your love on God. In Deuteronomy, we're instructed to love Him, to obey Him, to serve Him, and to turn with Him to Him with all of our hearts. Amen? I'm just going to read, last week, I forgot to bring it up. I have like a lot of little things that I have that I wanted to share with you today. So remember I read from this last week? I just want to read the devotional from 2 days ago. Today's the 6th, right? So, last week I really encouraged the body here to begin to get into the Word and to spend time with God. And guess what? I'm going to be talking about that again today. Big surprise. But I just wanted to share this little devotional with you. So, this is Henry Blackaby. Trembling at God's word, and the scripture is from Isaiah 66 and 2. But on this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. Do you tremble when God speaks? When was the last time you were physically affected by the reality that Almighty God just spoke directly to you? John lost all physical strength when he spoke to him, Revelation 1:17. Paul fell to the ground when Christ met him on the road to Damascus, Acts 9:4. Moses trembled when God spoke to him. And Peter, when he realized who Jesus was, fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Have you lost your sense of awe that the Creator still chooses to speak to you, his creation? Do you approach the reading of your Bible with a holy expectation, listening for the life-changing words that God has for you that day? Scripture says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There are things you will see and hear out of your fear and reverence for God that you will not experience in any other way. As you study your Bible, you may sense that God has something to say directly to you through the verses that you're reading. Take a moment to consider the awesome reality that the God who spoke and created a universe is now speaking to you. If Jesus could speak and raise the dead, calm a storm, cast out demons, and heal the incurable, then what effect might a word from him have on your life? The possibilities should cause you to tremble. The next time you open God's word, do so with a sense of holy expectation. Amen? Amen? I love that. I guarantee you, you do this. You go out on a limb this year to love, serve, obey, and turn to him with all of your heart in 2019. And though it will not be without its challenges, it will be good. It will be good. It will be a good year for you. Put him first. So I have another few questions for you. Imagine with me for a moment that you gave God complete access to your heart, to your mind, to your money, to your time, to all of your energies, to your contacts, to your ideas, to your passions. What could he accomplish in your life if you deliberately chose to give him these parts of you? How much could you grow? How many people could he bless through you? How many problems could you solve? How many ways could God use you to extend his kingdom? How Christ-like would you become? You know, every January we enter a new year that has enormous potential for us. And yet the days tend to race by way faster than we could have ever anticipated. And before we know it, boom, December hits again. And we glance back over the past year and we wonder where the time went. Can anybody attest to that? It's just crazy. The Apostle Paul's warning is as significant today as it was in his time. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Paul knew that people tend to waste time, and he understood the challenge of having limited time to accomplish his goals. Can anybody agree with me that, you know, you've got goals, you've got things you want to get done, but, you know, time is of the essence. Time is short. I don't know about you, but I seem to run out of time every week. No, wait, every day. You know? And as each year ends, we usually hope that the coming year will be better than the previous one. The problem is that most of the time, we make no adjustments to our lives so that the coming year will be any different from the previous ones. You don't have a great year simply by wishing for one. You experience the best year of your life by being more prepared for it than ever before. You can't foresee many of your circumstances that are going to crop up before you in 2019, but you can choose to prepare yourself for whatever may come. Wise people are intelligent people, or rather intentional people. Wise people are deliberate about their lives. They learn from the previous years so that they enter the new year with more wisdom than they ever had before. They learn from previous mistakes so that they don't make the same mistakes moving forward. So rather than just hoping that you have a good year in 2019, what have you done? Or what are you going to do to make sure it's the best year yet? So I've got some really great questions here for you to ask yourself as you reflect on last year. Did you grow personally as much as you could have? Are you more loving than you were last January the 6th? Are you more patient? Are you more like Jesus? Are you more skilled at your job than you were a year ago? What skills did you gain? What knowledge did you obtain? What opportunities and contacts did you discover? What weaknesses and sins did you address in your life last year? What areas of repeated failure did you address? What time wasters did you get rid of? What healthy habits did you start practicing? We need to do an audit of our lives to see if we're better people now than we were a year ago. And while you may not yet be the person that you want to be, make sure that you're at least making progress in the right direction. Amen? So here's a few more questions for you. I just asked you reflective questions of 2018, and now I'm going to propel you to begin to think about 2019. What are your reading goals? I mentioned last week that I have a challenge, a list of maybe 26 different types of books that I'm challenging myself to read. I won't get through all 26 of them this year, but I had posted it, and Ty said, ooh, I'm going to do that too. So we're kind of, you know, going to challenge each other because, you know, leaders are readers, amen? Leaders are readers. What are your reading goals? List some books that you want to read this year and set a completion date, a deadline date for them. What character goals do you have? How will you achieve them? How will you improve your time management skills? What time wasters that you have in your life right now can you eliminate in 2019? How do you intend to improve your physical health this year? How many pounds will you lose? How many times per week are you going to exercise? What food are you going to give up? How much sleep are you going to strive for? And if you're married, what goals do you have for your marriage? If you have children, how will you bless them this year? What new ways will you encourage and minister to your friends? In what ways will you be a better volunteer? We're always looking for volunteers here at Gateway, amen? Amen. What about your spiritual life? Will you set goals for your quiet times? How will your prayer life improve? How many Bible verses do you think you can memorize this year? How will you be better at sharing your faith? People whose lives have the greatest impact on others tend to live intentionally and deliberately. Your growth should be purposeful, not just hit and miss. Oh man, I struggle through the year. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm telling you, because this is all for me too. Oftentimes, I find I'm hit and miss over all of those questions, but I don't want to be. I want to be more deliberate about this coming year. You know, we do not know what tomorrow holds, amen? We do not know what the next day brings. I want to be more intentional. You know, reflection is good for the soul. And personal reflection is even better if you act on it. There's three keys to getting the most out of this process. The first is honesty. Be honest with yourself. You know, if you're really gutsy, ask a close friend or a relative, somebody that you trust, to test your reflections. Next, you need to express gratitude. The best disposition for this type of reflection on your life is gratitude. If you begin by writing a quick list of all that you're thankful for, specifically for 2018, the process will be way more encouraging for you. So honesty, gratitude, and the next one is action. Just do it. Amen. I want your 2019 to be the best year for you yet. So I hope that these practical and personal questions help you to have an amazing 2019. One of the things I did last week was I printed out two Bible reading plans, and we ran out last week, so I printed more, and they're on the table in the foyer. If you didn't get one last week, pick one up today. This is a great way to get you in the Word. This one is a 52-week Bible reading plan that takes you through the whole Bible. And this one is 5x5x5. It's a New Testament reading plan by the Navigators. If you can't spend 5 minutes a day in the Word, as a pastor, I have some serious concerns about you. You need to be in the Word. This is His primary way of speaking to you, the primary way that you will hear His voice. So what I want to do this morning is, before we have communion, I want to leave you with a deposit of the Word that is going to be a balm to your soul this morning. I just want you to close your eyes and listen to the word of the Lord as I read it over you, okay? And while you're hearing the word, just like really appropriate it for yourselves. Soak it in. Get it down, way down deep into your soul, into the Quakers called centering down. It was one of their methods of getting close to God, you know, getting down into that place where He resides. So listen to the word of the Lord this morning. And I'm reading from Proverbs. The fear of the Lord, close your eyes and just receive from the Lord this morning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. For a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The way of the Lord is a refuge for the righteous. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. A heart at peace gives life to the body. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. A cheerful heart is good medicine. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are safe. Amen? Amen. Amen. You know, you can start in Proverbs. It's an awesome book. Amen. Be the new. We're going to take communion this morning. Vicki and Everett are going to come and serve it. And just reflect for a few moments this morning. And when you're ready, come up and take the emblems and bring them back to your seat, and we'll take communion together. Thank you.